Episode three.
Three. Who would have thought?
The promoter.
And the pro.
Yep. My name's Kim. I'm the ICM promoter and?
I'm Sam Muzzard. The pro.
ICM pro.
Dual pro.
Dual pro and coach.
Yeah, we do all right.
Who would have thunk? Three episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually surprised. Yep.
And we actually did have 15,000 views.
We did. Yeah. You really like you, last time I was so excited. I'm like, oh my God, no way. And then it was a lie.
No.
But now it's not.
Now it has. It's growing all the time.
Yeah, wicked.
Yeah. All right. What are we talking about today? We are talking about posing.
Yes. Oh, this could be a really long one. So I'm going to put a timer on just to make sure. Because, yeah, posing, it requires a lot. And a lot of people don't put the effort in their practicing.
A lot of people think it's not important.
No, it's like, oh, I can get in condition. That's easy. Like, yeah, you just follow your diet plan.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, I can tan and train hard. Like, well, training hard. Yeah, training hard. Training hard is training hard. You just keep a record. But then, yeah, posing. Like, that's what you're judged on.
That's right.
Like, if you might have the best physique, but if you can't display it properly, then, like, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. And if you have a look at especially if you look at the guidelines for bikini and fitness model and sports model, one of the first words is presentation.
Yes.
And even though these girls don't do poses as individual poses as such, that presentation, that short walk, everything is taken into account with judging.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to bodybuilding, it's even more important.
Well, yeah, your presentation. When I tell people about competing, there's four main aspects when it comes down to that you're going to be judged on. One is your condition. Like, are you actually in condition that's required to actually see the muscles pop on your body? Two would be then your presentation. So, like, how are you presenting those muscles that have been popped? A lot of people forget that one. And three, like, you actually have to be muscular to be able to compete in a bodybuilding competition.
That's right. Muscular so as in have muscle.
For the division that's required. So whether or not you're doing bikini, fitness, bodybuilding, classic. And then the fourth one, what are we at? So we had posing, condition, weight training. Oh, and then your actual day presentation too, like your tan. If for girls, the makeup, the bling.
That's right.
All of that aspect too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I tell people. Like, you need to focus on those.
That tan, just as important in bodybuilding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a lot of people. Yeah. Oh, man, sometimes I've seen people with like.
That could be another podcast.
It could be. Like, I've seen people.
But we'll quickly, you can touch on that.
Tanned body and a white head. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's got to have an even flow to your whole physique. Or too tanned for the division that you're competing in.
Yeah.
So then it hides too much.
I saw a competitor once who had a white head. White hands and white feet.
Oh, that would have been really
and under what you don't realize is that when you're backstage, it doesn't look that bad. But when you're on stage and those powerful lights hit you, that white turns brilliant white.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I remember back like 2010, his name was Costa and he competed and he looked amazing, had like the most muscle I've seen on the day, but he had no tan.
Yeah.
So he didn't place.
That's right.
Because you just couldn't see it properly. Like backstage, you're like, yeah, man, look good. On stage, like, just washed out.
Yeah.
Everything blended together.
But posing. Now, people, the mistakes they do with posing is one, they don't practice enough.
No.
So you start your practice early and start it really. Look, I haven't been on stage in, 10 years now.
Yeah.
But I reckon I could put on a routine. Because at home, I still practice a little bit.
Well, yeah.
And I think it's good for muscle isolation, helps with your training, helps the feeling of the weights and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so if you're planning on competing, whether you're prepping or not, I think you should be practicing posing.
Yeah, for sure.
Every week, just hit a few shots.
You're right about the whole training thing, like being able to isolate and feel the muscle that you want to contract when you're actually doing your movements with training is going to then pay off as well when you're actually competing. Because a lot of people, like, for instance, they do, like, a rear double bicep, and yeah, their arms are in the right spot, but maybe their legs aren't tense properly, or they're not tensing that part of their lat to really tighten everything up.
Yep.
So yeah, it is very crucial.
So practice, and if you don't know, and the other thing too, when you do, if you do practice at home, practice and set your phone up on a tripod.
Yes.
And look back at it, because when you're looking in the mirror, you're thinking you look awesome.
Yep.
But you're looking on your video and you think, holy crap, that's not right. I'm not at the right angle.
Yep.
I need to bring this arm up. Everything, looks different when you see it played back to you. So yeah, yep. Film it, get lessons.
Yes. I mean, like, yep. I think we touched on it last time. There's good coaches in every state, so you don't really have to do it online. But there are really good posing coaches in every state.
So I can't understand how you do posing online.
I know, just watching a video. And how can you just, like, fix things?
Yeah.
Like, if I see someone, I'm like, no, you need to move this better anyway. And turn that, and they can't. Because how can you convey that through just a visual, like, look? I've got to feel and move them.
That's right. Yep, get them into the right position. So, yeah, practice early, film, get tuition, either one-on-one or go to the ICN group classes, which we start about 12 weeks out.
Yep.
Best of all is do all of them.
Yes.
You know, one-on-one posing with a tutor is good to refine everything, get everything into place, get your stance, everything right.
Those fancy little turns to throw, like the transitions, that's what the one-on-one is good for.
That's right.
Because they can focus on you and give you the best for your body in the time frame that you have.
Exactly
with
right. Group classes, the person doing the group classes, they can't focus on each individual.
No.
But they can focus, they can tweak you a little bit, lift your arm a little bit and so forth and things like that.
Yeah.
But the group classes give you then the advantage and the feeling of being on stage. Your other people are there next to you, and that's what it's going to be like on stage.
Yeah, you get that.
And that's just as
real-time
important.
Real-time feedback.
As practicing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get that feeling already. So you're not walking onto the stage the first time and there's other people on either side of you.
And you're like,
that can be a little bit daunting.
No, I don't know what to do because, now I'm stressed. There's people around. Like, yeah, no.
That's right.
Well, I remember when I first started, even though I didn't have a coach, I still had a posing coach. I still went to posing classes and learned how to do things properly. And Terry Roberts was my first posing coach.
Yeah.
She used to hold a broomstick. And she would she'd hit you in the back of the calves. Yeah, if you weren't doing something, she's like, why are you looking to the ground for? Like, a lot of people do that. They turn and they've got their head down, so they can't, you're not looking where you're going. Or they're not smiling, like, I'll smile on the day.
Yeah.
No, you smile while you're practicing. So then on the day, it looks effortless.
That's right.
So you get your photos back and it's like, oh, cool. I could use that for social media. Or like, I'm proud of this picture, I'll put that on the wall because you've got a nice smile on your face rather than like looking like you're half taking a dump.
Yeah. The other thing that just came to mind quickly is I thought of what people do a mistake of on stage when they're doing posing is that they're trying too hard.
Yes, and shaking.
You can see them shaking. And usually, unfortunately, it's the person who's out of shape a little bit. They think if I squeeze a little bit harder, I'm going to look leaner.
Yeah, no.
The actual reality is that if you are lean, if you are shredded, you don't really have to. All you have to do is lift your arms up and flex. Everything will pop.
Just switch on.
Because there's no fat hiding nothing.
Yeah, totally true.
And that's when you pose on stage, it looks so effortless. But part of that is because you are so lean, you're shredded, you're in condition.
I practice.
So that you don't have to squeeze the hell out of every shot.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like you are, but you still are.
Oh, I still get like the nerve shakes sometimes. Like, damn, like rear double bicep or the rear hamstring. If I get a little bit nervous, I'll shake a little bit. But I know that it's not me trying too hard. It's just that more sometimes a little bit of a nerve. Yeah.
Yep.
But like we're fortunate here in South Australia because the head judge is a posing coach.
Yes.
So she will give you like honest feedback too of like, no, we don't do that here.
That's right.
And the other Janelle, who also does her classes here, is also one of the judges.
She's pretty much our number two judge.
Yeah. So
she does it as well.
Same thing. So you're going to get like honest feedback from people that are actually judging you to go like, yes, this is required. No, don't do that. And so forth.
That's right.
There's lots of other posing coaches around too, which are also really, really good.
Also, if this is another thing I want to bring up, is if you're a coach and you're doing your own posing for your clients, which is fair enough, but if your client goes to the posing class and our judges tell them you shouldn't be doing that, well, then as a coach, you should listen to that.
Yes.
Because I've had coaches actually say, no, don't worry about that. You know, no, we do it my way.
Yep.
Whereas, hang on, the head judge is telling you
don't do it
this way.
Yep.
And then you're ignoring that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just pay attention to that.
Some of that might be down to different coaches are more, not that they're aligned, but they're fixated on one particular federation.
Yeah.
And so the posing is different for different federations.
That's right.
So like as a coach, you've got to be aware of the differences and implement them for your clients accordingly. So, yes, posing.
Yep. In the end, the nutshell is start practicing early.
Yeah.
Get help if you don't know how to do it. Get mm-hmm. yourself a posing coach. And then go to group classes yep. as well. Yep. And with ICN, all of our classes start at 12 weeks out.
Yep.
So we've actually got our – we're going to have our seminar on July the 7th.
Cool.
And posing then starts on July the 14th.
Yeah, sweet.
So that's when the first classes start. And one is here in the Northern Suburbs, here at the gym. And then Esther has hers down south at Ranella at her gym.
Yeah. Look, and it does.
And you're available for private.
Yeah, I do one-on-ones. Well. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Like, I practice every night. That's what I do when I'm leading into a competition. And it doesn't take long. Like,
no.
For bodybuilding, you're doing eight actual poses and four turns.
Yep.
If you do two rounds of that, it's only going to take you like 5-10 minutes.
Yep.
And that's all you need to do. If you do that every night, then on the day, it's going to feel like a breeze.
That's right. And don't forget the compulsories. I mean, the symmetries.
Symmetry, yeah.
Yeah. And that can be the hardest pose.
Yeah.
People to nail.
A lot of it's just the hardest thing I've seen with people is lat spreads.
Lat spread. They can't get their lats out.
Or yeah. the pelvic tilt. Like, they just can't get the hips to rotate in a particular yeah. way. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when you need the help. So, but yeah, get lots of practice, because I've seen lots of cases where someone has placed lower than they should have because they couldn't present their physique.
Yeah.
I'd be watching them. I can remember at Nationals, this guy would have won the Nationals. And we were all going, oh, my God, what is he doing? If he could just pose properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looked like he had literally been thrown on the stage and never done anything.
Just watching what everyone else is doing. Oh, they're doing that?
Or yeah, I'll try that. And he had size, he had condition, but he just couldn't present that physique. And it cost him. Cost
that's
him
devastating. Because then, like, that's what people remember. Again, like, this community of this sport, small, and people remember shit. And that's what they remember. Like, oh, you look great. Posing was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, practice, and especially the guys. Girls, I think, have got an advantage, because girls all their life have been taught to look good. Really.
Well.
Yeah. And they do. They all their lives, they're, I need to look good. I need to walk properly. I need to.
Which is sad. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, but it is. And guys usually think, oh, we'll just slap this tan on. That's good enough.
Yep.
And we'll go out there and pose.
I say it's a pride thing. Like, I know what I'd do. It. I would just do it myself. But, like, you need help.
Yeah.
Like, in all aspects of this competing thing. You've got to have, like, a go-to person to communicate with, coach, friend or something.
Yeah. And the competitions now, they're getting competitive. There's lots of competitors. You know, 10 years down the track, you might have got away with a bit of shitty posing, you know, bad presentation, but not anymore. It's going to cost you a place, and it could cost you a title.
Yeah.
So definitely.
And bad pictures.
And bad pictures.
Don't want them.
No, that's right. Exactly. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, you don't want to bring those pictures and show those pictures out, put them on Instagram and social media.
No.
And they look terrible.
No. It's not ideal.
All right. Before we go, a question that has been asked of me, and I see this asked actually nationally a lot of times after a show. It looked like at this contest the judges were favouring a softer look.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, oh, they were going for a lot smaller physiques this time. Well, no, the judges weren't. The judges were just judging what's in front of them to the best of the criteria that they could get that person matched to.
Totally.
So in the end, it's not that one season we're looking for smooth competitors. It just happened to be that everyone was smooth.
Yeah.
And we picked the best one of the smooth lot.
Yeah, I remember one year that did happen here.
Yeah.
I think it was season A, not last year or the year before.
The year before, a couple of years ago.
Everyone was smooth.
Yeah.
So you had to pick the best smooth
person. Yeah, and I actually got that even from coaches. Oh, is that the criteria now? No, everyone was just smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the actual coach who asked me this question had a couple of competitors in the show.
Well, they should have.
And he said, is that the criteria? And I said back at him, I said, is this your criteria for preparing a client?
Ooh. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, I've had some people where I've had to tell them, like, hey, you're not ready.
That's right.
I don't think you should do this because you don't look the way you're meant to. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
That's right.
And the good thing is comps aren't that far away. So, like, if you aren't ready for one, it's only five, 6 months and the next one's there.
That's right.
Then you're in an even better position to be better.
Exactly right. So, yes, that is all to do with just – it's actually – that's on the competitors' backs. So whatever the competitors present, Mm-hmm. That's out of the control of the judges. The judges are just in control of putting them into the best order that they can, closest to the category fit.
Yep. Yep. Well, we could quickly just add in how the actual judging is scored. The seven judges.
Yes.
So the best score that you can get is a 5 because your best score and your worst score are deducted from the actual scoring.
That's right.
So let's say you've...
And the judges actually, yeah, they just place everyone in place. If there's 5 competitors,
yep.
they'll write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it.
That's it next to it. There's not like a percentage or a mark.
No, oh, they got this posing better than that person. Yeah. And
so out of the collective criteria, they're like, this person is the best one that fits everything. They get first place, second place, third place, so forth.
Yep.
When all the sheets come to the tabulator, we put them all into under the judges' names in the order that they put them in. And then you will deduct, like Sam said, you deduct the highest and the lowest.
Yep.
So if someone, for instance, had straight firsts, you deduct 2 ones out of there, you're left with 5. And that's a perfect score.
Perfect score. Yep.
Yep. Or it can even be 3 if there's 5 judges.
Yeah.
So you can go down to as low as 5 judges and you still do the same thing.
Yep.
It
helps get rid of the bias.
Yeah. And what it does is it'll get rid of the bias. Say if everyone had this one person in first place and one judge had a 4th,
yeah.
that 4th will get automatically deleted.
Yeah, gone. Yeah. Yep.
So you're getting rid of that one anomaly out of it.
Yeah, it makes it more fair.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and people say, oh, the judging's rigged, et cetera. That's another podcast.
Well, you've got to have to sleep with you're 7
gonna
judges. You're
going to have to pay off 7 judges.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Sorry, we've got to keep going. But like, then people are like, oh, no, it's the promoter's fault. He's the one that he had the scorecard and he yeah. read it out. Like, no, you don't.
That's right.
You're just doing what is provided in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I MC. I go off the stage. And the only time I go down to the judge's table is to see Cliff, the tabulator, and he tells me the placings, and I write them down on my sheet and go back up to the microphone.
Yep.
Yep. That's it.
And that's
the only other person that can override anything and is the head judge, but they can't, with me, they still can't override the decision. Like Esther has told me many times, I didn't agree with that. I had that person second. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the panel saw him first.
Yep.
Esther's score actually got deleted. She's the head judge.
Well, there you go.
You know, but the head judge will be used if there's a tie.
Yeah.
And if a tie can't be broken, then we will use the head judge's mark to then choose the winner.
Yeah, that's...
Okay,
yeah.
Who's the head judge got in first? This person, they're winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's only to break a tie.
Yep.
And that's it.
Cool.
That's it.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. That was a good episode. You got any questions, send them through to us, either Sam on Instagram or us, ICNSA, on our socials. We'll add it to our list. We've got lots of questions, but we'll welcome more. You got any questions?
We try to keep this short so we don't drag on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hit them up. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. As per normal, this episode was brought to you by Australian Muscle the Gym, Base Transformations,
Ooh, yeah, hey.
And ICN South Australia. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next week. Bye.